Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
All right, sorry for the late start today, folks. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook for a Thursday here on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook with you this afternoon, and we're all sort of kind of put off kilter here today simply because we've got our UK Patriots fans in, as I know many of you are aware from listening to PFW in Progress just a few minutes before. The guys are all out in the green room that is located next to our studio here inside Gillette Stadium, and so they're taking pictures and whatnot, and they did bring a nice array of things, so we appreciate their thoughtfulness. We appreciate their being here. Most of all, I think we appreciate their being Patriots fans. Look, the guys even got jerseys. Look at this. Arsenal? What the hell is that, Paul? What team is that? What team is that? What is that? Make sure you turn that microphone
on. It is on.
Oh, now it is. What was that?
It's Palermo.
Palermo,
Sicily.
Sicily.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't say Arsenal like yours does.
No, it doesn't.
That one I recognize. So, well, it's good stuff today. Very good stuff.
Oh, it's great stuff.
Great to see. It's great to have, you know,
a year after
like this.
We went to London, London came to us and feted us like they did over
That's
there.
That's kind of cool. That's very cool. That's very cool. I'd say it's a group. How many guys are out there? It looks like 10 or 12?
Ten.
Yeah.
10 guys?
10.
Okay.
Yep.
They made the trip straight from Heathrow.
I haven't been on the playbook in a while.
Thank you.
You haven't stepped inside the playbook in a while.
Thank you for making a token appearance. Make sure you take all your goodies with you. Yes, Andy, that's booze.
I didn't realize it was such a relaxed John Rook inside the playbook.
Oh, yeah. It's
casual Thursday.
No,
he's sitting in Fred's seat.
I'm sitting in Fred's seat. That's right. But if you want to open up that bottle and pour a little whatever's in there into this, that'd be all right with
Fred
me.
Fred already did that.
Oh,
he partook.
He did.
As your producer. If anything goes awry, that's why. He did a large shot.
During the show?
Yes, on air.
Fred was spilling it all over his pants, and I didn't want
to. It wouldn't be a show if Fred didn't spill something on himself.
Well, I see the bottle of English whiskey there, so that would be all right to go, you know? Nice. Put it in the bag. Take off.
None of it will go to waste.
Here, take some of this. Leave the rest of it for us. Thanks, fellas. Thanks for visiting inside the playbook.
The playbook. Oh, why do you keep turning my mic off?
I don't know. He's trying to figure out which one you are. You're going to be that one today.
Normally. Well, because we had all the guests over
here. Right.
Yeah.
Well, to say the least, it's a pleasure for me to meet these guys. I realize that it's difficult to perhaps... See, Fred even got cigars, too. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Are you going to light up today?
No, I've already been drinking, so I don't need two things
on my personal
record.
So now do you have your own? You'll have your own private stash. You got your own private little nip bottle, or is it a little whiskey?
Or it's a little bit bigger than
it's like
bottle.
That one.
There,
okay. Yeah, it's like that. Very nice. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
got the whiskey there. Very nice.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Thanks, Eddie Mac. Appreciate that. Good stuff by the fans today. It's wonderful that we have such diehard fans, you know, that exist as far away from us as they do.
Yeah.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
But yeah, there
That's
we go.
That's Paul again.
We were going to go drink.
That's all we talk about. Seems like it's all we talk about. But that's okay, because that's what a lot of us do. One of the questions when I was out there talking to the guys before the show started, and you guys were wrapping up, was the fact that, you know, they were planning on bringing it loudly on Sunday, which is great. I mean, it's all fine and good in theory. But one of our topics of conversation this year has been the fact that we really didn't believe the Gillette Stadium crowd was up to what? Usual standards, up to par, up to snuff, had gotten, as I like to call it, fat and sassy and complacent, sitting in the stands. Fred took the biggest booze bottle, which is, you know, certainly no surprise at all. And he slams the door on the way out, so that's all, it's all good.
Fred's a little bit tipsy after that three-quarter.
That was a Kramer-like exit.
It was a Kramer-like exit, very much so. Turned around, cocks the head, and then just scoots, slides right out.
Yeah.
I love that. We need a, you know what, that should be a movie.
Seinfeld?
Yes. Yeah,
no,
Seinfeld.
Don't
movie.
Ruin it.
Yeah,
no,
it should be a movie.
No.
Hello, Newman.
It should be a movie. I got to know what happened to him after they all went to jail in the series finale. You know? You don't think so, huh?
No. They're making one of my favorite shows, Arrested Development, into a movie.
I saw that.
I don't know how they're going to fit the three seasons of, of those shenanigans into two hours.
My favorite show now is Men of a Different Age. Have you seen that one yet on TNT?
No.
Yeah, it's got Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula's show?
And
I saw the promos for it.
Yeah, Andre Brower and Everybody Loves Raymond. Hello.
Ray Romano.
Thank you, Ray Romano. Duh, Raymond. So I actually think it's, not only does it hit home, I think it's actually quite clever.
For your contemporaries? Yeah,
yes, they are my contemporaries, very much so, in everything they do. So the season opener, that was coming
December 6th. You know, speaking of Scott Bakula, John, as we go off on our usual
tangent. Yes.
I always thought if they ever made a movie, like it'd probably have to be a made-for-TV movie, about Frank Reich's life. The former Buffalo Bills backup QB who led the greatest comeback in playoff history, the 35-3 over the Houston Oilers.
Right.
Scott Bakula would have played Frank Reich.
Scott Bakula was in a football movie
as
a quarterback.
He was
unnecessary roughness.
Necessary roughness.
Necessary roughness. Mm-hmm. That's correct. About the program that was put on the death
penalty.
North
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they call it North Texas.
Yeah.
They actually played the games in that movie they filmed at the Texas State campus.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is in San Marcos, but they called it
North Texas.
Texas.
I think, right, yeah.
Right. Like it's kind of funny because it was North Texas State, but after that movie, they made a move to call it the University of North Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's what it's known as now.
Oh, really?
UNT, that's correct.
Wow, how about that?
Just a little, offhanded movie trivia that means absolutely nothing to what we're going to talk about.
I always thought that Frank Reich and Scott Bakula were separated at birth, and I always said they got to make a movie about that game and that comeback and about Frank Reich.
They could do that.
Scott Bakula be Frank Reich.
They could probably do that. Of course, you realize that there's another quarterback that might even be more famous than Frank Reich in terms of being, a career backup or what have you, Gale Gilbert.
Right, whose son is the quarterback
at
the University
of
Texas now.
But Gale Gilbert is the answer to a trivia question. Do you know which trivia question it is?
I certainly do. Only player in NFL history to appear in five straight Super Bowls.
That is correct.
All of them on the losing team.
All on the losing team. That's right. Four Buffalo Bills. He was the backup QB to Kelly.
Yep.
Primarily.
I think I got hosed out of one of those.
Yeah. And then obviously in San Diego as well.
That's right, when they got smoked by the Niners.
What kind of cigars did they leave?
Cubans.
Oh, you can say that. This is the internet, for God's sake. Cubans?
The interwebs.
What kind of Cubans?
Monte Cristo.
Oh, sweet. Those are solid.
They only brought four, though, Johnny.
I know. Well, I understand. These guys are their pets. So, they treat the UK guys as their pets. So I understand that. I totally realize I'm just happy to get lunch. Are you kidding me? I never get that.
You're going to try some of the sweets that they left too, John.
I'm sure I will at some point in time.
Apparently those tea cakes are really good. I haven't tried them yet.
I actually have had English tea cakes because I was talking to the guys out there before we came in here, about, first of all, a lot of them wearing Liverpool, shirts.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And, the Red Sox management just
bought them. That's right.
Liverpool FC.
Was it New England Sports Ventures?
Yeah. John Henry's group that owns the Red Sox. They just bought Liverpool FC
after an extended
controlling interest
battle.
Right. Exactly. So they actually are obviously all wearing Boston Red Sox hats now and hoping that, the same fortune, happens to their football club in Liverpool as has happened to the Red Sox under John Henry's ownership. And so we were kind of talking about that before Kevin came frantically running in here and said, "Hey," and then I saw Fred burst in and half drunk and, and staggering. I said, "We got to take pictures here." But good guys, and I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they had a safe journey. Hope they enjoy their weekend in New England. And yes, I told them to come by the booth on Sunday and make lots of noise, and they will get a firsthand look at some of the things that we've been talking about all season. How, usually in the club level, stands aren't full. There's very little noise coming there. The club level is right above where I sit down in the press box row. It's just, I'd say we probably make the most noise in the end zones. And the problem with the configuration of Gillette Stadium is that the sound just goes straight up and out. There's no bowl to help keep the noise in. And I know that's been a discussion on EEI, and I think we've even discussed it here throughout the course of the season when it comes to how come Gillette Stadium doesn't seem as noisy as Old Foxborough did. First of all, Old Foxborough was in the ground, and it was a concrete and metal bowl.
The closest I could compare it to, I think, is Autzen Stadium.
Yeah.
In Oregon.
Yeah.
That's an in-ground stadium.
But the sound reverberates.
So the sound stays there.
Yes.
Which is what makes that such a loud
because it
college
was just
atmosphere.
Concrete and it just sucked it down and, mm-hmm. and you had, you know, aluminum stands and so the sound would, you know.
Yeah, people would jump up and down.
Yeah, and they
would
it would echo and sure, that'd be fun. Here we have, you know.
You jump up and down, you're jumping up and down on concrete.
On concrete. You're not jumping up and down on metal.
You have a great seat.
There are no metal seats.
But there are no metal seats. There are
no metal seats. They're actually armchair
seats.
You know, whatever they call
plastic,
it. Plastic,
I guess.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, more than anything else. I mean, it's not like they're plush or anything, but, you know, the environment is different. It's just a different environment, and the sound does not retain as well. And I'm wondering if that was something that should not have been paid more attention to, you know, by the architecture firm that built the stadium, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know. It's all moot point now. I do think that at some point in time, Eric, we'll probably hear some discussion about expansion at Gillette, you know, adding
refurbishing
or you know, when they refurbish it, when they decide that the stadium needs refurbishing, I could see them adding another 5,000 seats.
Yeah.
And the stadium is built where I think you could pretty much easily handle that.
I'd also like to see them actually finish the lighthouse because it's always looked incomplete to me.
Well, of course it does. And I remember the first night that we actually launched it and, you know, we expected to see this beam of light, you know, go straight up into the air, almost like a spotlight, really, and it never happened. And it kind of fizzled out just because the lights of the stadium just sort of bled it out.
That's not
yes,
why
Jason.
It fizzled out.
Okay, oh, tell God. Me why
Here
it fizzled
he
out.
Goes.
Tell me why, because that was the reason that I was given.
The director of mediocre in-game entertainment is here.
Okay. So shoot then.
Nice
tell
shirt,
us.
Loser.
That was the thing.
And this was before my time.
They're second in the premiership at the moment.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
oh,
thank you very much.
Come to a Revolution game. Anyway, what happened was they rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed, and they had a remote control that was supposed to, on cue from the owner in his talk, they were supposed to hit a button and a light would shoot up from the bottom of the tower. Well, when game day came, he does his talk, they hit the button, nothing happens.
Right.
Because what they missed from rehearsal to live is the amount of RF interference in the stadium between the broadcasters, the cameras, the radio stations, everything like
they
that.
They didn't sync up with the frequency coordinator.
Correct. And the remote control that turned this light on was
interfered with.
Residential grade, mm-hmm. not industrial, or commercial grade, rather.
Commercial.
So they're sitting there hitting the button, hitting the button, hitting the button.
Nothing's happening.
Nothing. Completely
Crickets.
Blown out of
so
the water.
So why did they never fix it?
They did. They put an LED board in it instead, so it never happens again.
But see, what my vision when I heard they were building the stadium, my thought was
to have a real.
It was going to be a real
New
lighthouse
England
with
lighthouse.
A spinning light.
Yeah.
And every time the Patriots scored,
the lighthouse
there'd be
would
a
go
fog
on.
Machine, and the fog would roll in. Like they'd make a fog appear right around the lighthouse, have the fog horn, and have the light spinning around.
I think it's a great idea.
I like it.
Well, then get to work.
Then
on
let's
it.
Go.
Let's go. What are we waiting
Stop
on?
Stop standing here
the hell
yapping.
Like a lighthouse builder?
Yes.
Conveniently, he shows up just when we're talking about this topic, too.
Because it's in his territory. I know. Oh, he's got to get his lunch from the UK Pats. All right. Yeah, it's all there. Don't worry. Take some of the sweets with you, too. What are you looking at, Jason? Oh, okay. He's just checking
it's
it
all
out.
He's looking at
Never
that
mind.
Nip.
It's yeah, he's
good.
Looking at the nip. We're going to open this up before this hour's over. We're all going to chug out of the little nip bottle here that they brought over. All right. A couple of things that come to my mind about the game. Now, we've digressed long enough here. By the way, Russell Baxter will join us as per the norm in the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon. I have to admit that I kind of talked myself into this during yesterday's show, Eric, a little bit while you were with us, but more so, I think, in hour number two of the show. I really don't like the matchups on Sunday.
You don't like them for the Patriots?
No, I don't. Now, I realize Favre is probably going to be on one leg. I don't think there's really any doubt in my mind that he's going to play. I think he will play.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't. I just, you know, Adrian Peterson.
It's going to be tough.
Best running back in the NFL.
Yep.
As far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I also think that, quite frankly, Percy Harvin scares the hell out of me. Scares the hell out of me. Guy has got speed, more speed than any other player this team will have seen maybe all year. And I guess they're going to get to see Devin Hester later in the year. But, you know, I think Percy Harvin's not only a better receiver, I think he's just every bit as fast.
Yeah, I agree. My only
Hester obviously came from defense, but I'm just saying, you know, I that matchup. And then, of course, you know, Moss, if there was ever a game in which Randy Moss busted his butt from, you know, whistle blow to final gun, it's going to be this one. You know it. I know it. And everybody else who's listening should know that.
Right. I agree with all that. I only disagree with you in that I think it's better for the Patriots if Favre starts.
Most of the game. That part I agree with.
Because that will allow New England to get, finally, pressure on a quarterback.
I think. Because Favre is not as mobile, and I understand all that. I agree with that. But the weapons that Favre has, if Favre can get to his weapons.
If he can get to them, yes.
I don't like the matchup. I really don't. Right. It concerns me greatly. Minnesota's defense has also been a part of the problem here because they also have not put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Jared Allen has been a huge part of that. I know Jared Allen's got other things going on in his life now, which is sometimes what happens to elite athletes when they get asked to go appear on this show and do that gig and whatever, you know. And so that may very well be I'm sure has heard that this week. He's probably heard it all season long from his own fans in Minnesota. Considering the fact that our offensive line had one of the worst games in recent memory this last week against San Diego, and I realize they're probably working like heck on that, you know.
And I think
this
the timing
week.
Couldn't have been better. Have it against San Diego.
Yes.
Fix it in time for Minnesota.
Maybe, but the timing still is extraordinary. You got to admit.
Sure.
You got a premier defensive player in Allen who's had a subpar year because his numbers don't compare favorably to what has transpired over the last couple of years against an offensive line that all of a sudden finds itself struggling and made even a switch, pulled Connolly out and made a replacement. So I'm just saying the mix just doesn't seem right. I'm getting ready to talk myself into picking the Vikings.
I almost was going to as well, but then after the last 3 weeks, I've...
You've decided to go...
Something's happening.
You've come off the ledge, Squidward?
No, Squidward! I gotta hear it from you, too?
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. All right.
No wonder why you were patting me on the back. You were looking for the spot to dig the knife into. You bastard.
Oh, goodness.
No, I think something...
You got to find some Squidward sound, by the way, okay?
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
It's only good when little Tom from England calls you Squidward.
Oh, you mean the four-year-old.
That's good. Hey, that's
now.
Good.
Have you heard him?
Yeah,
have you heard
a little bit, but that's a pretty good impression. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Goes,
come on, you know, we only say that with the utmost...
Of course.
Because I don't look like a TV star. You do. So that's
all, please.
You know.
Now you're,
even if he's animated, you still look like him.
He's giving you a little smooch on the bottom.
Chris Myers used to say when he hosted Up Close on ESPN, we kid because we care.
That's right. We kid because we care.
I like that one.
You just sounded like Harry Carey.
Me?
Yes. If you were
Pops
a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I would.
Harry Carey. Hello, friends.
Believe it or not,
this is Harry
none of
Carey.
Us have had a drink yet in this show.
That's
except
what it,
for Kevin.
That's what it sounded
except for
like.
Kevin.
I was just telling him what it sounded like.
Hi, everybody. This is Harry Carey.
That's really good.
That is good.
Okay.
You ever heard Will Ferrell do it? It's hysterical.
Oh, Will Ferrell is a dead ringer for Harry
really?
Carey. Oh, yeah. He can do it as well as any impersonator I've ever heard. He's tremendous doing Harry Carey.
Speaking of him, we watched... Will Ferrell, that is. We watched
We're
Anchorman.
Digressing again.
We watched
way.
Anchorman
that's okay.
going up to
oh,
San
did
Diego.
You? San Diego?
Yeah, on
nice.
Purpose, because
oh,
it
course.
Was a San Diego trip.
Yeah.
So I got to hear, go yourself, San Diego.
Did the whole plane laugh?
It was the bus.
The
we were
bus?
On the bus,
oh, okay.
yeah. Oh, yeah, we love
Everybody
that
loved it. All right, nice. Good.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Thank you very much. All right, so getting back to the original point, because I have a feeling today is going to be a day of digression.
No, yeah, I was convinced. I thought that the Miami game was a fluke, that they played their best, you know, football at that point. They
so you're
motivated.
Explaining to me now why you've turned.
Yes,
okay.
I thought Baltimore was a coincidence. Two games in a row, they came back when the game they should have lost because they were losing most of the game and they were outplayed most of the game, but they found a way to turn it on at the end. Then last week at San Diego, the way the Chargers were just finding new and different ways to give the game away. It's starting to have that 2001 type feel for me, that there's a team that nobody believed in and they're winning games they're not supposed to win. And not to say they're not going to lose any more games, but I don't think they'll lose this week, especially when of all the games that Favre has ever played, this is the one where it's most likely that he's that he has a chance to miss the game. I'm not saying he's going to miss the game, but of all the games he's ever played, this is the one where it's been talked about the most that he could miss it. Yet another example of things going this team's way at the right time. So I just think it's going to continue.
And we did talk about that yesterday as well, that, you know, this team, and you made...
They're at home, too.
You made the original point that this team, the way that they're going about winning games is eerily similar to some of the things we saw begin to start taking shape in 2001.
Right, things you couldn't even invent in your head are happening.
Right.
You know, like the David Patton thing in 01 when he was knocked out, but he had the...
Had the ball and...
Reception on the sideline. It had that kind of feel to it last week when...
Was that 2001?
Yeah.
Seems like it was like 2 years ago.
When... The number 15 from the Chargers, the receiver, caught the ball, went to the ground, and then just stood up and left the ball there. I mean, these are professionals we're talking about, and things like that don't happen unless it's a magical type scenario, scene, that's a season that's going on. So
again, I'm just kind of going with gut instinct. I think it'll be a battle. If you think then that the Patriots will find a way to win it, where do you think ultimately the difference will be? Where do they excel as opposed to Minnesota?
I think they excel in getting to the quarterback.
The Patriots?
Yes. In this particular game, I think they're going to be able to get to the quarterback, and that's going to help them in the secondary because they're not going to have as many passes on target going their way. They might give up a little bit against Adrian Peterson. I think he'll have his day because they're going to be so focused on those other two areas in the passing game.
So you think Peterson's a shoe-in for 100-plus?
Yes. And probably a couple touchdowns. But I think New England's O-line will correct whatever they seem to have go wrong last week against San Diego. They're going to have to because this is one of the probably the best front they've seen so far. One of them, anyway. And I think Brady will have just enough time to have one of his type games that we're used to seeing him have, which he hasn't had many of this year.
Here's a believable scenario, and see if you concur or just let me know where you differ, all right? One of the criticisms that I have had, that we've all had, I think, of the Patriots' defense is that the young corners play too soft. And I'm pretty sure, I'd be almost dead positive, short of, you know, actually listening into the, you know, defensive meetings, that they're asking them to play soft because they don't want them to get beat deep. They just want them to keep the receivers in front of them. You know, my point is I think it's time to see what kind of true athleticism, especially a guy like McCourty has, and let's see you man up on these guys a little bit rather than playing back and away from them. I think that's what Kyle Arrington is being told to do. Again, just an opinion, but based on the repeated play after play after play that we see Arrington play off his guy and the frustration that we all have over guys turning, you know, 8-yard routes into 12-yard completions like that but not really giving up anything deep, I have a feeling that this has got to be part of the game plan. So let's say again that's part of the game plan for Sunday.
All right.
That the Patriots DBs, McCourty and Arrington in particular, starting corners, have been said, all right, let these guys have the short stuff, okay? Short stuff all day. Patriots decide to load up the box a little bit more, jam Peterson, and say, all right, Favre, you got to beat us deep. Without thinking that his mobility is not going to allow him to really do that because we're going to get to you.
Yeah, all right, I could see that happening.
Is that a believable scenario?
Sure. Yeah, anytime you think you think you've got Bill figured out,
you don't.
I understand
I'm just saying. To me, all right, you know what? I've been clamoring for those DBs now. I want to see what they've got. I want to see them man up. I want to see them run step for step with these guys. I want to see some plays made. McCourty is starting to do that. He's starting to look like the first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. So I got to give him his props there, and I think we all do. I'd like to see Arrington be given the same set of parameters. Now, maybe McCourty is actually just showing his superior athleticism, and he's still playing under the same guys as what Arrington has been told. Got to play off your guy by about 8 yards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he catches it in front of you, he's able to take an 8 to a 10-yard play, then you're going to give it to him. We just don't want you to get, you know, beat. We don't want the guy to get behind you. But if that's the case...
Okay,
we have the run stoppers in the middle. I think we've done pretty well with, you know, guys like Mayo and such. Maybe, just maybe, and I'm going to get your update on the practice report today in a moment, but maybe they decide that they're going to rush four. Maybe they're going to try to clog that middle a little bit with the linebackers and just say, all right, you know, AD, you're going to have to show us because we're not going to let you have it. You're going to have to beat us another way because we don't think you can beat us over the top. We know Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. We know what it's going to take to shut him down. We don't think you can do it. So the one thing that we really need to concentrate on is taking away Minnesota's best weapon, which is Adrian Peterson.
Okay. I'm sold. I'm sold.
Just a thought.
I think you pitched it well.
Well, we're going to find out on Sunday how close I am.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but
right.
I like the theory, though, is good.
So the theory is relatively sound?
Yes.
Okay. Well, blind squirrels do find a nut every now and then, right? How about the practice report today? Who was out there?
Okay. Yesterday we were missing more players than usual for this season.
Really?
Five.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yesterday. Yes. We knew that.
So today, three of those returned, and one new one was missing. So we had a...
So you have three out today.
We have three out today.
Chung is one.
No, Chung was back.
Chung's back today.
Full pads.
Chung was back.
Bravo.
I will say this.
That's
I will say
news.
This, though. He was probably going at about half speed.
Doesn't matter.
Wasn't going all out, but he was out there.
The fact that he's out there tells me that he might be available.
Yep. Fred Taylor, Jared Page, the usual, and Mike Wright joined the list of the missing.
Okay. So Will Fork was back out there today.
Will Fork was back. Non-injury related yesterday.
All right. That's good.
And Matthew Slater was back in on the field.
All right, that's good.
After tweaking an ankle against San Diego.
Good. All right, that's all a positive, step right direction.
Yeah.
I would imagine that, do we know the extent of Page's injury at all?
Just that it's a calf.
Okay, calf injury.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sergio Brown did come in and play fairly well, I thought, last week.
He made the game-saving play.
Yeah, so, whether or not it's interchangeable or whatever, Brown is obviously going to have an opportunity. We'll see if he's, active
and
on Sunday.
He reportedly, according to the Herald, I believe, was given a 4-year contract extension.
Yes, I did see that.
So
they obviously
just
like
a short-term solution.
No, they've decided they're going to keep him around for a while, so step in the right direction, I suppose, for him. I saw also, according to Mike Reese, they worked out a couple of running backs yesterday.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was just a couple of free agent running backs because they lost.
Anyone we know?
No. Obscure names, but it's because Clayton got picked up by Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
Otherwise, I think they probably would have tried to re-sign him, put him back on the...
Probably fit him on the practice
squad.
They still have an opening there.
Right. So that's why I think they brought in a couple of free agents and did that. So we can catch up to date on that in a moment. By the way, this is sort of related and not sort of related, but I had to bring it up just because it's an extraordinary story. It's pretty windy outside today.
It is. I went out to practice. It was fine.
Well, it's gusting when I came in.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's because this is the storm bomb that's going over the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're catching just some of the tail of it here because it's actually going up into Canada and we're really kind of missing it. Although it's supposed to get a lot colder here tonight, down into the 30s, believe it or not.
Yes.
For the first time this year.
Yep.
And it's not supposed to get but maybe mid 50s this weekend. Mm-hmm. Not horrible weather for Halloween.
Actually seasonable.
Seasonable, but because it's actually been warm. It's 70 here all week, which has been great. But the story I'm getting to is, I don't know if you've seen the story about what happened yesterday at Notre Dame, where Brian Kelly, he hates to go indoors just because he likes to practice outdoors. The storm was basically going through South Bend, Indiana yesterday. Not really any rain, but so much as wind. There were 40 and 50-mile-an-hour winds gusting to upwards of 60 miles an hour going through South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Young man who is their video assistant was getting up on one of those expanded...
Oh, on the lifts?
Lifts that we have out here.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Yeah. And knocked off. The lift went over, and it killed him.
Oh, jeez.
20-year-old student assistant, video operator. And so now the state of Indiana and OSHA are looking into, workplace violations at Notre Dame for making him get up there. Now, he could, they could have gone indoors. They didn't do that. So they decided to play outside or practice outside yesterday because you're not supposed to raise those lifts when the wind is above 25 miles an hour.
And it certainly was yesterday.
Oh, my God. It was the kid who passed... was tweeting up until 20 minutes before he died.
Oh.
And he tweeted something about all... his first tweet was, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I know many of you have probably gone online and already seen his tweets. He tweeted, the first one was, today ought to be a lot of fun. I've lived long enough. That was the first tweet.
Wait, why did he say that?
Because
was that in reference to?
He knew it was going to be scary. And then the second...
Was he being sarcastic?
Yes, he was being sarcastic, but he said, I guess I've lived long enough.
Oh, dear God.
And then he goes up, and they said that their lift goes up about 50 feet in the air, like the one out here does, about 50 feet above the playing surface. And he tweeted 20 minutes before he died, before the accident occurred, holy bleep, this is terrifying. 20 minutes later, wind knocks the platform over, and he dies later at the hospital. The worst part about it all, practice kept going on after the accident.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Did they even stop while the thing was going?
Apparently
not. For the
emergency
crews to come in and...
thing went over, emergency crews come in, and practice kept going. Brian Kelly, I think, he's a great PR guy, pretty good motivator, very good football coach. He's going to have a hard time spinning this one. Very, very hard time spinning this one. Naturally, the statement from Notre Dame today came from him, that we're all deeply saddened and shocked and what have you, and there's supposed to be a news conference this afternoon at Notre Dame. I think it may have already taken place, or it will be taking place here very shortly. But I was just floored by this story. And the reason I was so floored is because out here, and it was gusting today, and I'm looking at, the flags blowing as I'm walking in this afternoon. It's pretty gusty. Now, I don't think it's 60 miles an hour, but you're not supposed, those lifts that you see that go up over and overlook the playing fields, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to raise those above 25 miles an hour. The manufacturers of these lifts specifically tell you not to be used in high winds. Not only was it 25, it was gusting to 60 yesterday in South Bend. So, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, at the very least, he could have said, all right, it's too windy to put that thing up in the air. Just shoot from ground level, or don't shoot at all.
Or go inside. Suck it up and go inside.
Exactly the point. That's the point I'm making. He doesn't like to practice inside. So, it's horrible.
It's horrible, even more disturbing that they didn't even acknowledge what was going on.
No.
They just kept practicing.
Yeah, that really bothered me. The practice should have been called off at that point. I mean, come on. Isn't life a little bit more important than practice at Notre Dame?
A lot of these coaches at these big programs and even at this level, they're so focused on their job that they forget about the real world. They put in these hours that are just absurd.
I am a Brian Kelly proponent. I told all my friends that, are Notre Dame fans last year, I said, your next coach is in Cincinnati, when Brian Kelly was at Cincinnati. Jim Donaldson of the Providence Journal. He's one of the biggest Notre Dame fans I know.
Yep.
And I said, your next coach is in Cincinnati. And if you don't go get the Irish Catholic, Brian Kelly, then, you're stupid.
Mm.
He's perfect for that school. He knows the PR. He knows everything. But I'm just stunned that the pressure on him to succeed, Notre Dame's what, 4-4? They obviously haven't quite lived up to the billing that everybody thought that they would this year, but let's face it, new coach, you gotta take some time to recruit your kind of guys to mm-hmm. play the kind of way that you want to play. It's not gonna happen overnight.
Yep.
But the pressure to win is so intense at some places, and Notre Dame is no different than any other place like an Alabama or Texas or an Oklahoma or USC or, a Michigan or any other place, that you can't stop for a moment to find out about, a person who has had a serious accident on your football field.
A member of your own staff. That is one of the most heartless things I think I've ever heard of.
I really hope that in the coming days we find out more to the story.
I certainly hope so.
I hope so. But on the surface, this does not look good at all. Not the least of which, Notre Dame is going to be guilty of several OSHA violations, and they will be fined up the wazoo for this. But now Brian Kelly has to live with this the rest of his life, that he may be responsible. Somebody at that school, and they haven't divulged yet, somebody on that school is responsible for making that young man get up there to do his job when they know full well he should not have been there. And that person may be charged with second-degree murder. Could be. And if I were the grieving parents,
manslaughter maybe, or
manslaughter definitely, but if I were the grieving parents, there's no doubt that that would escape my I mean there's no doubt that I that'd be what I'd looking for, because somebody has to be understood, somebody has to understand it, that there's just nothing more important than life. This is a game we're playing here. It just totally and completely blew me away when I heard that.
I hope somebody gets it, because the fact that they continued on with practice, if that's, what you're saying, is, if we don't find out anything more than what you just said,
yeah.
How do you not react when it actually is happening in front of you?
Just a stunner.
I just don't get it.
An absolute stunner. Well, I'm sorry I digressed. I wanted to get that off my chest a little bit because I was just floored by it. You can see more of the details on the story. I'm sure if you go to, you know, ESPN.com and, or Fox Sports or CBS Sportsline or whatever your national, sports website of choice is. But it just hit me. Because as I was walking into Gillette today, and we have some gusty conditions out there, and I'm looking up at the practice field where the guys are practicing. There's our tower, and there's our videographer. And I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if it's close, you know, to being, you know, he shouldn't be up there.
Yeah.
So at any rate, that's food for thought. All right, let's take a time out here. Question of the day. Nathan sent me a Facebook message. He said, what's our question of the day today? Well, honestly, there really isn't one today because I wanted, number one, I knew that the UK Pats are going to be here today, so we're going to spend some time talking about them, which
we've
done.
Also prediction.
Prediction day. This is the question of the day. I need you to tell me what you think will happen on Sunday. So predict the score. Tell me your winner. Tell me your loser and why you think it will happen. Webradio at Patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. And, of course, Facebook is up and running as well. And we'll also have Russell Baxter from ESPN coming up in about 20 minutes right here inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who, of course, calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules.
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
John Rook with the PFW's Eric Scalavino back here on a Thursday. Your predictions? That's what we're looking for today. Who's going to win it? Pats or Vikings? What's the over-under on Favre picks? We're going to assume he's going to play. We're going to assume. We're just going to assume that.
I'll put the over-under at 3.
Really? That high?
For picks that he throws?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to say 2. I was going to say 2.
Then I'll push.
You'll go over?
I'll push.
You'll push on 2?
Yeah, I'll push.
Yeah, you got to get off the fence, man. Over or under?
No, I think he'll
here
throw
we go.
Two. I think he'll throw
2 and a half. 2.5. 2.5.
2.5.
2.5.
I'll take the under.
You'll take the under on it?
I think he throws 2
you
picks.
You think those 2 picks.
Yeah.
All right.
Very costly ones, too.
All right, so include that as part of your score prediction. How many picks for Brett Favre on Sunday? All right, and then whether or not you think that will have a direct or even indirect benefit on a potential Patriots victory if you do that. And I'll give you my score thought, and I'll ask Eric his in just a moment. Here's the story from South Bend in case, you know, you haven't had the chance to search for it. Pardon me.
You had a Fred Kirsch moment right
I
there.
I did have a Fred Kirsch moment. I didn't even drink the Scotch nip yet. Oh, my God. That never happens. I mean, that literally never happens.
You're a radio professional. It shouldn't.
I enjoy
happens to Fred every day.
I enjoy a good.
He's not.
I enjoy a good. Yeah, I enjoy a good belch like the next male. But I mean, honestly, that never happens.
Not
on
when the mics are on. Though.
No, never. Absolutely never.
Lord,
I apologize for that profusely.
All right. It's been a great day here.
You know
today.
What?
This has been one of the more fun days.
It's because our UK Pats are in town. That's
right.
Exactly.
And it's
why.
Halloween week. Too.
It is Halloween week.
So
we spent yesterday talking about.
We grown-ups have to spend some time being kid.
Yeah, we spent Tuesday talking about candy.
I saw the
Halloween candy.
Saw all the emails. Yeah. In the inbox.
By the way, I'll let you tell me your favorite Halloween candy. What is it?
Whatchamacallits.
Yeah. I had a couple of people say that.
Love whatchamacallits.
Sugar babies rule. Instant sugar. Pure energy. Boom, right there. That's better than any of that.
Pete Shepard was not enthused by your favorite.
Sugar babies? No, he wasn't. It's better than one of those, you know, 5-hour shots that you do.
That's not a
That's stupid.
Treat.
I know.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
One of the all-time great ones. All right, here's the story out of Indiana, in case you hadn't heard. Young man's name is Declan Sullivan of Long Grove, Illinois. Died at hospital on Wednesday after the scissor lift. The 20-year-old student was in, fell over amidst winds gusting over 50 miles per hour. Indiana Occupational Safety and Health Administration, Indiana OSHA,
yep.
Right, said that today they had an investigator on the scene in South Bend. Too early to say when the agency might
right
release
there,
a report. No, I'm not. I'm passing gas as we speak.
Good thing I'm on
you
the other side of the console
Eric.
Over
he
here.
Was really, he was turning on purple while he was reading that thing.
I can't, you know.
It's the chair. I think it's the chair. You got to change.
You think?
That's Fred's throne. Anybody who sits
now
in there
Fred's
is cursed.
Now Fred's throne reeks like scotch.
I actually did a pretty good job of cleaning it up because I didn't smell it coming in here. I usually can smell scotch.
Really?
The reason that I can smell scotch is because it's still tattooed to my nose from my college days. Scotch and tequila.
Wow.
Were the two drinks of choice in the front
Down
house.
In Austin?
No, two drinks of choice. I was a beer drinker. I didn't do a whole... If I drank hard liquor, it was usually tequila. Usually. But it was, you know... hey, listen, tequila shots in Texas, brother. What can I tell you?
I know, but...
What can I tell
tequila's
you?
Tequila's tough, though.
Yeah.
You know?
I can do whiskey or scotch, but tequila's tough.
Tequila?
It makes me gag.
Nah, tequila's fine.
No. All it takes, John,
you gotta
one,
get some
one bad
really,
experience.
You got to take some really pure Mexico mezcal. And if you get that, I'm talking about the kind that has the worm down on the bottom of the bottle.
Would you eat the worm?
No. Definitely.
Oh,
it's a great aphrodisiac.
There's a true American right there, a real Texan.
That's the legend. That if you drink the tequila to the bottom of the bottle and you eat the worm that's been in there, it's a great aphrodisiac. That's what they say.
Was it proven?
Well, I don't know. I don't really remember.
Is it foolproof?
I was knocked out by then. Drinking at the bottom of the bottle. I'm gone. Sorry. It was an aphrodisiac. Oh, great. It must work. Somebody will have to tell me about it. Because
oh,
I don't
God.
Know. I don't know. You know what? This doesn't even, it's not even appropriate anymore. We're going to leave the Notre Dame story alone because we're kind of goofing off here. Obviously, that's a serious situation. Go check it out on your favorite website because, quite frankly, the whole story was just somewhat disturbing. And, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with that young man's family and for those that care at Notre Dame because I do know quite a few of the people there in the athletic department at Notre Dame. And I'm sure everybody's kind of stunned by what had happened. So I certainly wish that this had not happened. But now that it has, I hope that they're there's a somewhat of an explanation coming and an amicable conclusion to it all, as much as you can have that when somebody passes like that tragically. I have to admit, I am very heavily, as I mentioned earlier with Eric, I'm very heavily leaning toward taking the Vikings. Again, it's just gut instinct. I've been wrong. Let's see, the Patriots are 5-1. I believe I am 4-2, either picking with or against the Patriots. I have picked them to lose, and they won. And I believe I picked them. No, I think I'm also 5-1.
Are you really?
I'm trying to keep track, but I think the I think I am. I think I've picked them every week, with the exception of. No, you know what? I am 4-2 because I picked them to lose the Miami game, and they won it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is the other one then?
The other one was, I think I picked them to beat the Jets, and they lost. So that would make me 4-2. Okay. That sounds reasonable because I remember thinking I'm actually behind the Patriots' pace. They're outpacing me in prediction. So I'm 4-2 picking the Patriots. The Patriots are 5-1. So it probably means I should keep my mouth shut until I can at least be up even with them or surpass them. But, you know, for the previously mentioned reasons, the matchups just, wow. Unless we can find a defense that somehow can come out and really perform on all cylinders, I think it's going to be a very difficult matchup for New England on Sunday. What was your score prediction?
I didn't give one yet.
You didn't?
No.
You saving it?
No. I'll give you one. I just haven't formulated it yet.
Let her rip.
Can you give me a?
Oh, you need a minute to think about it.
I'm thinking.
I'll let you talk through the process.
I'm thinking. It's going to be every game they play this year is going to be like the last 2 weeks. John, it's going to come down to either the last possession or the very last play of the game. So get used to that. It's going to be a wild ride for the rest of the year.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I actually think that's accurate. By the way, Strippers just sent me this. He said the quote from Vicente Shenko was,
yep.
The only way I could see him not playing, talking about Favre,
yeah.
Is if the sky falls.
Wow. Well, I agree with him.
He's going to play.
I agree with him.
Yeah, he's going to play.
So I think the Patriots put up 28 points this week.
On the Vikings defense.
Yeah, somehow. And it might not all be the offense.
Okay.
Might get a special teams, like a kickoff return, punt return maybe. There'll be a special teams score in there. So the offense will put up 21, they'll get a special teams score, make it 28.
All right.
And I think the Vikings put up 27.
Okay.
It's going to be that close.
28-27. Well, then obviously you're one bounce of the ball away from picking the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also convinced that the Pats are going to score 4 touchdowns.
Well, I just said there'd be 3 on offense and 1 special teams.
Or a kick or a kick or punt return. What about a pick six or something like that?
I'll take that. Yeah, sure. Anything non-offense.
Okay. All right.
Which has been their forte this year. They've done it several times already.
I don't like to do it to the end of the show, but frankly, I'll go ahead and do it now, and then I'll repeat it again. I actually like your 28-27, except I think it's going to go the other way.
The other way?
Yeah. Wow. I think I'm going to have to go that way.
When
I hope
news breaks,
yeah.
We break it. Patriots.com radio.
Thank you very much.
And your pick is?
He just did it.
I just did it.
Will you pay attention?
No, I'm not paying attention.
Oh, my God. That it's starting to kick in now.
I said 28-27. I'm going to go the other way.
He had half a bottle of that stuff.
No, I was trying to set him up. I was trying to set him up with the breaking news.
Oh, I see. Well, he meant well.
It's the thought that counts.
Still not listening. That's okay. It's all right. Nobody else does either. My wife, my son, nobody listens. So, except for you, Eric.
Although Austin will be here on Sunday, though.
Yes, yes.
Really?
Yes, he will be here. He's going to act as my spotter.
The famous Austin Brook.
Yes, he will be the spotter in the booth with me on Sunday. Yes. Yes, my normal spotter
has he done it before?
Oh, yeah. He's spotted for me several times,
college
even when
games,
he was younger.
Or for the Patriots.
He's actually done the Patriots once before, even though he really wasn't supposed to, because we do have a sort of a rule around here that you got to be 16 to be in the press box.
Breaking all kinds of rules.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we did. But, you know, he's almost 16, so he qualifies now. But he's actually done several college games for me, and he does a very good job at it. And he's told me all along that, you know, he wants to replace me, you know, as an announcer. So, you know, he's going to get a chance to sit next, and, you know, we're going to do it.
This will be great when he puts this on his application for Oklahoma.
No, I've already told him. I said, listen, if you want to have any kind of relationship with your old man.
That's why he's going to apply to Oklahoma.
Because he doesn't want a relationship. No, he doesn't. No, he wants dad to still pay the bills.
Well,
trust me.
Yeah.
He does. He's kind of, him and the word work, that's a four-letter word, okay? Really.
Well, looks at you and he says, you've never worked a day in your life. You've enjoyed every job you've had, right?
Yeah, that's probably part of the problem here, you know? I'm trying to get out there and, you know, go get a part-time job. And he's like, why, dad? You know? I said, I have like 16 part-time jobs. What are you talking about? You know? I said, I'm working 16 jobs just so I can put you in private school and all that stuff. You know, so yes, the rookie will actually be a part of the proceedings.
Well, that's good. We'll get to see him then.
Yeah, so he'll be around, and I'll bring him over.
I actually haven't seen him since he was a tyke.
Since the days at the school?
Since the days back then, yeah.
Wow.
He was an infant.
That has been a while. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, we'll make a point of that. We'll make a point of that. All right, I know you're going to get out of here in a minute, but
yeah.
Let's bring into the program Russell Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator for ESPN. Russell, good day to you, sir.
Hello, John. You're not going to throw Eric out here, are you?
No, no.
Yeah.
Usually at 3 o'clock, he's got to go start writing and advancing for Sunday. So you know, get ready for next week's issue.
Why? Is there anything interesting going on in Foxborough this weekend?
Nothing at all.
It's Halloween. That's about all I know.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, here's another over-under we should have. Over-under on the number of Randy Moss masks in the crowd. We were talking about over-under on interceptions by Favre, and so I'll let you answer that in a second, Russ. But, you know, number of masks, Eric?
25.
That's all.
Oh, I bet the over.
I'm going way over on that.
Way over.
You really think people are going to drop that kind of cash for that?
Sure.
For one day?
Yeah. Well, people drop cash on Halloween costumes all the time.
All right, I'll change the over. 100.
I'm still going over.
Are you? Were you too, Russell?
I want to know what the over-under on mooning references will be.
I've already seen like a dozen this week.
Mooning references.
I've seen the picture. I've seen the video so many times I can't even remember.
Let's see if we can find somebody that will pull that off in the stands. That'll be clever.
You know, it's funny. We, you know, and obviously we're going to talk about the game and so on, but there's been little mention of Randy coming back this week.
Yeah.
Because of everything else that's been going on with you know who.
That has been the primary subplot. Because of Brett Favre. We were talking about it on yesterday's show, in fact, Russell. We were incredulous over the fact that Randy Moss, who we just traded away, is not even the number one story in him coming back this week.
Well, do you know, was it going to be a bigger story? I mean, except for this happened? And now it still hasn't happened. This was supposed to be the week that Randy Moss played the Vikings for the first time since he was traded to Oakland.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. He had never faced them.
He had never faced the Vikings.
And
he never will.
He won't again. So.
And he never will.
That's a great.
That's a good.
That's
one.
A great point.
I hadn't even thought of that before.
Hey,
that's
why I get minimum wage. Come on.
I like it though. That's really interesting.
We like minimum wage, though. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, get enough minimum wages, you're in good shape.
Getting a wage is also very good
in this.
We like wages.
Yeah, in this day and age, no question about that. Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of started this. We'll end up looking at the X's and O's of the game in a minute, but. Let me ask you then your thoughts on that over under question about Favre and whether or not you have any doubt at all whether he plays or not.
I think he starts, and I don't know if he'll be around long enough to throw an interception.
So you think that he'll start, he'll try to play and say I can't do it.
I think
that would benefit the
John,
Vikings.
John, this is probably more for you. Listen, Eric and I don't know each other that well, so be bluntly honest, Eric, I don't know how old you are.
Oh, how old do I sound? I love playing this game.
I think you sound like you're about 38.
I will be 38 in January.
Wow! That's a good guess.
Wow.
Very nicely done, Russell.
Well, stalking has paid off. Okay, all right. Well, I'll throw this out.
That's the line of the week right there. Rack him!
John will remember this. I remember it. And John might even remember it better. There was a, you know, we always go over the list of great football movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every time there's something. There's a football movie called Number One.
Number One.
Charlton Heston, who played a Saints quarterback,
who was literally
carried off the field at the end.
Yes. Okay. I vaguely remember this.
Charlton Heston, before he flew off to the Planet of the Apes, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So this would have been probably what? 60s? Early 60s?
Was this pre?
I think this was post
Ten Commandments?
Red Sea.
Yep.
and pre...
And pre-Planet of the Apes?
Pre-staring at the Statue of Liberty on the beach at the end of the movie.
Okay, okay.
I have to go back. I'll have to check on...
But he was a name. He was a name actor, obviously.
He played a Saints quarterback. I believe he was literally Ken. I'm going a little fuzzy if he was actually...
John's going up on IMDb, right?
There you go. There you go. Okay. And I think that's how... When it ends for Brett, I think that's what's going to happen.
1969.
Okay,
number
so
one.
That's post-Planet.
That's post-Planet. No.
That's pre-Planet.
Right, when was Planet?
And post-Ten Commandments.
Post-Ten Commandments. So we were right. It was in between those two.
One of the greatest movie scenes in NFL history. Two of them involve Charlton Heston. The parting of the Red Sea. And, you know, staring at the
staring
Statue
at the
of Liberty.
Statue, yeah.
Realizing he was on Earth all the time. Number one, not one of the greatest movie moments of all time, but it's a little known football movie where a guy is, you know, leaves it all out on the field, for lack of a better word. There's
literally
a lot more to it, obviously, than that, and so on. But I think that's this one's going to be called Number Four.
Not number one.
And I think I almost think that's how Brett would like it. Okay, I'm not saying he wants to get hurt. That's not what I'm implying. Okay? But I think you're going to have to drag Brett Favre off the football field.
I think, though, you make a point. I think the reason why he has refused to retire this many times is because he can't fathom a life without football.
And I think
he would almost rather die than not play football.
Well, I don't think it's a – I don't mean die, okay? If he can't make a decision –
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think he wants someone else to do it, okay? Not necessarily Brad Childress, I will say that, but maybe the gods – Right. If he is hurt so bad that he can't play. I don't think Brett will not play until he can't play. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, listen, it's been an you know, it's really odd. I thought of this well after the fact. And if indeed the streak is over, how funny is it that when he started the streak, it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 4, 1992, September 27th. It's when he actually – his first start. He had played in a couple games before that, just so people know.
Right.
I believe the Steelers' defensive coordinator that day, or at least an assistant coach – I think he was the defensive coordinator – was Dom Capers.
Wow. Son of a gun.
And who was the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers last Sunday night? Dom Capers.
Dom Capers, yes. Oh, I see where you're going.
It has come full
circle. I don't know where I'm going with it. It just tells you that
it's a nice little neat circle, is what it is.
And what does that tell you? That both Brett Favre and Dom Capers have been around a long time.
Yeah,
and so have I.
Well,
so
we had Dom Capers a year ago,
and one started with the Packers.
Yep,
back then, and one is they flipped.
They flipped.
Now the other one is with
the Packers. With
the Packers,
that's right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
Favre
started with the Falcons, but you know what I mean.
Well,
he started the streak with the Packers.
Starting streak.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. He has started 291 straight games. He has played in 293 straight games because he played in two games before he actually started. And other than Jeff Eagles, a punter, no one's played in more consecutive games in the history of this league. Now, this league, I know, has only been around 90 years. 90 years. That's one heck of an accomplishment, whether you call it starting play, even the playing streak. Because how many, John, you know as well as I do, you know, the number we heard forever in consecutive games was Jim Marshall.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And playing in 282 straight games. And here is a quarterback, and not saying quarterback takes more punishment than the lineman. It's probably the opposite. But it is still remarkable to watch, you know, listen, here's a bottom line. We now know Brett Favre more for his streak than even the fact that how many people remember he won a Super Bowl 14 years ago?
Well, you know what?
And that he played in two in a row, and then he won three straight MVPs.
Yeah.
He's now synonymous with the streak.
Right. Honestly, I think a lot of people have forgotten that Favre won that against the Patriots back in 96.
Not Patriots fans.
The Patriots fans haven't, but I think a lot of people generally are like, oh, yeah, Brett Favre won a Super Bowl. That's right. They forgot. It's been so long. It's been 15 years.
Well, and I also think it's one of the reasons why people forget is because he keeps coming back, and it's almost like, well, he's got to come back. He wants to win a ring.
He's already won one. That's the overriding sentiment, the overriding remembrance that people have of Brett Favre. Forget the fact that he's thrown for 50,000 yards and he's thrown more interceptions or touchdowns than any other human alive. Fact is, he's the guy that wouldn't go away. That's what people will remember Brett Favre for. So he is already irrevocably, in my opinion, tainted his career. Is he going to make the Hall of Fame? Most certainly.
But he's not going to be held in the high esteem, I don't think, as perhaps even he should be held because of what people remember over the last 8 to 10 years of his career.
Yeah. But Eric just touched on something really interesting because I've heard it said. By the way, the other guys who are Samanas who are not going away are Jason and Michael from the Friday the 13th and the Halloween movies.
Appropriate.
They never go away
appropriate
either.
For this okay? week, too.
Yes,
very
yes.
true.
But, Eric, can you repeat what you just said, why he came back?
I think people assume that
he
keeps coming back
to...
because he wants to win a ring.
Right, okay. It's even the way you say it, because a lot of people say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost implied when you say it that he's never won one.
That he's never won one, right.
Because
well, that is
so
the implication. That's the implication because it's been so
right.
long. People have
right.
a lot of people have forgotten
that he's won.
And the
correct.
Way,
and there's a
right.
generation of football fans
who don't
who
know
him as the guy who wavers about mm-hmm. buying a washer or dryer
yeah.
in the Sears commercials.
Right.
And he's actually made a little extra whatever money
or the Wrangler
making
guy, yeah.
fun
yeah.
of himself being indecisive.
Right.
Or
okay?
he's wearing real comfortable jeans.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And, but we forget. Well,
yeah.
not everybody forgets, but you understand my point. He is taking on this different aura of what he is
right.
and so on, opposed to the, you know, he's not even the gunslinger anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know.
He's becoming a caricature
in some,
of
in,
himself.
I think in some ways because of the way it's been handled. But listen, you know, John Wayne made a lot of movies.
Hmm.
True Grit wasn't his best, but he won the Oscar for it.
Yeah.
Was later in his career.
Sort of a lifetime achievement one.
Yeah, right? almost. Mm. And, you know, listen, I'd like anybody to play football because they want to play football. But I think you have to also be realistic and remember this is a team game. And remember if you are hurting the team. And listen, mm-hmm. Brett is playing. He's not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He doesn't look like he's been healthy all year. Now, you know, whatever this... If this is a reoccurrence of the ankle injury, or this is a brand new ankle injury, the arm, we have watched him limp around these stadiums for 2 months. You know, in and out of the tunnels. I mean, you know, I'm not big into body language and so on, but I am big into limping. Okay? He has not looked like a healthy human being. Oh, yeah, listen, and then he has these magical moments he did. He almost had one the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where Percy Harvin and so on. But he also threw one to a line. He threw two of his three interceptions to linebackers last week. It's also the second time, at least this year, I've shown him where he's thrown the ball as he's getting hit, and he's thrown it right into a linebacker's hands. He did it to Jonathan Vilma on opening night at New Orleans. So did we expect him to throw only 7 picks this year? No, of course not. Okay? I didn't expect him for a team that's had 15 turnovers this year. He has 14 of them. Okay? That's not 14 out of 15 is a great passing number.
Yeah.
It's not a great when you're talking about turnovers.
Right.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Fair enough. E, we'll see you later, bud.
All right.
See you on Sunday.
You certainly will. Russell, good to talk to you again.
You too, Eric.
All right. So let's turn this then into basically what we, you know, we'll kind of look around the league a little bit. We'll come back to the Patriots and finish up with that one again, if that's all right, Russell. But there's so many subplots. I mean, obviously the whole Randy Moss thing, which I know we'll dig into in a little bit as well. But fact remains is that people like talking about this stuff, and obviously you guys like talking about it as well because it's dominated your airwaves, it's dominated the countdown show. Everybody's got an opinion on, you know, what Favre should or shouldn't do, and he's not listening to any of us. So in that regard,
well, listen, there's no doubt. Listen, the guy's played forever. He's a polarizing figure.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no
true.
Doubt about it, and
yep,
so on. I
yep.
mean, so I think the conversation is warranted. There's no doubt about it. If and when this streak ends, it's historic. Okay? I mean, I'm just looking where this team is headed. They've already lost as many games as they did all of last year.
Do you equate this streak to Cal Ripken's?
In any form?
I
think it's tough to do that from sport to sport.
Yeah.
I wouldn't try to do it, compare a baseball to a hockey or a basketball to a hockey or a football to a baseball.
Is it a Cal Ripken-like streak for football? Maybe that's not a better.
I think that's hard to answer. I think that's hard to answer. I'm not trying to cop out on the question.
No, that's fine.
And so on. I think it's hard to answer because I think it's a shorter season as far as games. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yet the other game is much more physical. I mean, as far as it's more physical in terms of collision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's you obviously you do a lot of running around
mm-hmm.
when you play baseball and so on. You know, so I just think it's tough. I think it's tough to draw a comparison to them.
Gotcha.
You know.
Gotcha.
Just in my opinion.
Okay, fair enough. Let's start it off then with the divisional opponents and their games this week. Dolphins are playing at the Bengals. Dolphins are a perfect 3-0 away from home, 0-3 at home. And, yes, they get to play this one away from home at Cincinnati. And I was talking earlier this week about how you certainly have to put the Vikings up there, at least close to the Cowboys in terms of overall NFL disappointments to this point in time. I think you got to probably include Cincinnati at least a little bit in that discussion as well, don't you?
Oh, I think you have to include them a lot, to be honest with you. I think they went out and thought they got what was a quote-unquote missing piece for them. And, you know, like so many teams that I've seen that have been disappointments this year, you fix one thing and yet an area you thought that was solid turns out to be a disappointment. And, you know, first things first, I'm going to touch on Carson Palmer,
yeah.
who puts up ungodly numbers when they lose
right.
and pedestrian numbers when they win. And, because it's not about him. But to me, he doesn't look like the same quarterback we saw. Here is a guy who had his knee blown out in the 05 playoffs against Pittsburgh. 2 years later, the elbow issues and so on. I don't think he's ever going to be the quarterback physically that he was. Now, I mean, it's almost obvious to say because he's played, you know, the better part of 7-8 years and so on. But,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot got robbed from him because of those two big injuries and so on. You know, that being said, it's not like their offense doesn't do things. Their defense has been very disappointing. They look like they had turned the corner. They have no pass rush whatsoever. And last week, Atlanta seemingly did anything they wanted to them. That being said, they were gritty enough to get the lead back, I believe, in the game,
mm-hmm.
via mistakes by the Falcons and so on. But when it push came to shove, they couldn't stop Atlanta. And, you know, that turned out to be why they're a big disappointment. And listen, they had a game against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago at home. They couldn't close the door, made some crucial mistakes down the stretch. It's a game they should have won. You know, you should win your games at home against teams that you're expected to beat. And it's almost like it's left a little bit of a residual effect on them. Now, can they bounce back? You know, they did beat Baltimore earlier in the season. They turned around and threw that away because they lost at Cleveland. Okay, remember, they were undefeated in the division last year, and it took all of that to win the division. So, I think Cincinnati's a major disappointment. The disappointment part, I think, is the defense, not necessarily the offense.
Yeah, I would kind of tend to agree. I know that Buffalo is 0-6, but I want to mention them simply because they did almost knock off the Ravens. In fact, a lot of people think they should have knocked off the Ravens this last week. They got to go on the road and take on a Kansas City Chiefs team that's undefeated at home, 3-0, 4-2 overall.
Yeah, and, you know, this to me is a tricky game for the Chiefs because, you know, listen, they're now 4-2, and now we're going to get into the area we're expecting them to win. And just like Baltimore was expected to win last week and had to hold on or rally for dear life
sure.
to beat Buffalo. And Buffalo has actually, you know, not been a very good team in recent years. Either it's Kansas City, they've had some success at Arrowhead Stadium. I think this one kind of smells upset-like. I kind of think the Bills are going to get off the schneid this week.
Wow.
And go into Kansas City. Listen, Kansas City is much improved. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not going to be surprised here if Buffalo has some success. I think they're gaining offensive confidence with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's played very well over the last couple of weeks.
He has. And they're finding ways to – right, listen, they have some young players in the Chiefs secondary. You know, at times last week – they had a couple breakdowns, and, you know, Kansas City comes off rousing 42-point win. Jacksonville's defense is awful. I think it's just kind of a little bit of a letdown this week, and even though it's at Kansas City, I think Buffalo pulls a little bit of a surprise.
Okay, fair enough. Packers playing at the Jets. This one, I think, has a lot of intrigue for Patriots fans. Number one, you're going to see the Packers later this year. Number two, Jets are at home, but at the same time, I think this is probably at least an opportunity for the Jets to stub their toe. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, listen, this is intriguing for this reason. Last year, if you remember, The Packers were number one run defense in the league. They don't resemble any of that this year. They've been gashed on the ground. Last week, even though they won, the Vikings had 196 yards rushing. The week before, Miami had 150. So, you know, you take what the Jets like to do running the football, and, you know, that could be a big issue for the Packers. They're also going to probably put a lot of heat on Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this. Because Darrelle Revis has been a little gimpy, you know, with the hamstring and so on, I think teams have had a tendency to go after him, go after their secondary. Their secondary's given up a lot of big pass plays, okay, this year. Listen, they're 5-1. They've won five in a row, okay? But I think if Green Bay can get a bit of a lead and they can keep the Jets – listen, if Green Bay falls behind in this game, I think there's a big problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a real big problem because they'll tee off and I don't – and because the Packers can't run and or choose not to run because of their problems at running back with injuries. And listen, this I can't think of a team – there are teams that have had a lot of injuries. They keep on losing people left and right. They've put like four or five prominent people on IR. They just put two more linebackers on IR this week, Brad Jones and Brandon Schiller.
Wow.
You know, Barnett's on IR, Ryan Grant's on IR, Jermichael Finley's on IR. So, you know, the fact that they were able to survive last week against Minnesota was a big coup for them. To me, the first quarter of this game, or at least the first half, is going to be crucial, very, very crucial to this contest. Because it's going to dictate what one team is going to be able to do in the second half strength-wise, okay? We know Green Bay's not great at pass protection, not great at stopping the run. We know the Jets can be had if they get time in the secondary. So I lean toward the Jets. I mean, I think they'll also maybe be a little let down for the Packers after beating a divisional opponent and so on. And the Jets, obviously, very physical team, have had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. They had a bye last week. It could go either way, but I'm going to take the Jets just for the sake that they are playing at home in front of their home fans.
Yeah, I'm kind of going along that way, too, because Green Bay is really so beat up. A couple of the games that I wanted to take a look at, Russell, the Sunday night game on NBC, pretty good matchup on paper, it seems. Steelers playing at the Saints. Have you been able to put your finger, has anybody been able to put your finger on why the Saints have struggled to the extent they have?
Well, you know, we don't think of it this way. It's the last two teams to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know, and fortunately for the Steelers, they have their Super Bowl winning quarterback back with them the last 2 weeks,
right.
And so on. You know, the imbalance of the Saints. Now, last week, I know they fell behind, but their lack of balance and the same balance they had against Tampa Bay, they completely lacked last week. And again, they fell behind 20-3 at the half. And one of the reasons 20-3 is because Drew Brees, who has done this more this year than I've really noticed, throwing balls almost like when he's falling down, much like Brett Favre. He did it against Atlanta, and he did it last week. He threw a ball that he looked like he was just trying to throw away, and that was David Bowen's first interception. I mean, by the way, I gave him an 8.5 on the near pirouette into the end zone.
Yeah.
But four interceptions by Drew Brees. Like I said, a complete lack of balance on their part. Listen, you fall behind, regardless of how behind you are, okay? A lot better your options is still to run the ball to get back in the game. Now, if you're behind 21 points with 4 minutes left, you throw the ball. If you're behind 17 points with a whole half left, you got to still try to run to open some things up. But, I mean, listen, another aspect for the Saints last week, too, was they completely... John fell asleep on special teams. You know, the trick play by Cribbs, and you know when the opposing punter outrushes you, pretty much. Okay, the punter had a 68-yard run down the middle of the field.
Right.
So,
which was an amazing run, by the way. Just
completely
amazing that he was untouched for that long.
But I will say this: Pittsburgh has been. Listen, they got a gift last week. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Did they have a nice fourth quarter drive to put themselves in that position? Absolutely. Okay. Are they a different team with Ben? Yes. But I will say this about them defensively, and they will be without Aaron Smith for probably the rest of the year, you know, depending if he can come back from getting hurt again. If the Saints are going to run, they're going to test his side. They get Ziggy Hood, the former first-round pick, is going to try. Is going to be making his, I think, his first start. But the Steelers, to me, have not been the close-the-deal defense late in the game as much as people think. Okay? And I think if the Saints hang, they win this game. And because I think they're desperate, I'm going to take the Saints. I don't know if it's a surprise or not, but I'm going to take the Saints to edge the Steelers late Sunday
night. Interesting, interesting. And home field advantage is the difference, you think?
Well, listen, to me, there's no home field advantage when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. And I say that for this reason. Their fans go everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Their fans are probably in your studio right now. Okay? You've been to even Foxborough. Okay? They are loud. They travel well. You know, I was down in D.C. last year or 2 years ago for a Monday night game in at FedEx Field with 90,000 people.
Right.
And about 35,000, I think, were Steeler fans. That negates home field. Listen, I think this was a playoff game and a different opponent and so on. I think home field means a lot to the Saints. And the majority of people there are going to be Saints fans. Please don't get me wrong and so on. But the Steelers are one of those teams where I don't know if home field. Listen, they're undefeated on the road this year, too. Okay?
Yep.
So they've had any trouble. They won at Tennessee, at Tampa, and, of course, at Miami last week. I think the Tennessee one was probably the most revealing one because they went in there and lost their second-string quarterback and were down to their third-string quarterback.
Right. Still won the game. Right.
And still won the game. Okay. So I don't think it's a home field thing. I think it's – I'm not totally sold that Pittsburgh closes the deal on defense like people think they do. So –
okay. The ESPN Monday night game, Texans at the Colts, both teams 4-2. So we have a divisional supremacy battle here. Can the Texans get the better of the Colts for a second time in the same year?
Well, if they do, they'll do something that hasn't been done in 8 years. No team in the AFC South has swept the Colts since Tennessee did it in 2002. I mean, that's an amazing streak.
It is. That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty solid.
And you wonder why this team's won, you know, 12 or more games 7 years in a row, been in the playoffs. I know they have played in a couple Super Bowls and obviously a perennial playoff contender. I have made the point that I believe this is the most important Colts game in roughly 10 years.
Wow.
I say that because they're 4-2 and both their losses are in the division.
Mm-hmm.
In an AFC this year where I think maybe at least one 10-6 team, should it come to that, might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, a loss here would render them basically two games behind.
Well, they would be... they would lose all tiebreakers to the Texans.
Correct. Correct.
Automatically.
So
okay.
And
Houston and Tennessee have not played each other yet this year.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not saying it's going to become between Houston and Tennessee. What I'm saying is that, you know, this is a team that's going to not have Dallas Clark. They're not going to have Austin Collie.
Mm-hmm.
They're as banged up as they've been. They don't play great defense to begin with. I know they're playing at home. One thing we know about Houston, they don't play great defense either, but they can score on anybody. Anybody. And I didn't pick the Colts to make the playoffs this year. And that was based on the fact that I thought Houston would win the division. And because I think sometimes when this, you know, look at the Texas Rangers. They had never won a playoff series. Now they're in the World Series.
Right.
Okay. So sometimes when you finally end these bugaboos, you end them in a big way. And I think the Colts streak is going to end this year, and I think it's going to end not necessarily great. I think they might wind up being like an 8-8 football team.
Really? Wow.
Okay? Because they're not doing anything overly well except the quarterback is playing well, because he always does.
Mm-hmm.
But he can only do so much. And I think I'm going to take, because of my preseason prediction, I'm going to pick Houston to win Monday night, and then we're going to start scratching our heads a little about the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Monday Night Football is still to come. Of course, the Vikings and the Patriots have the 4:15 Eastern time, the national game on Fox on Sunday. Vikings at 2-4 coming in, as we talked about, perhaps one of the bigger disappointments in the NFL, maybe with the Cowboys certainly in there, Cincinnati, as we talked about, and the Patriots at 5-1, surprising most everybody, including myself and most everybody here on Patriots.com radio with the 5-1 start, having one of the three best records in the NFL overall. Brett Favre coming in, Randy Moss coming back, which has certainly been let's just say, inside the front cover story to this week's escapade. And, oh, yeah, it's Halloween as well on Sunday. So a lot of great subplots here. But the bottom line is, and here's I'm going to tell you why I actually am siding with the Vikings at this stage, Russell. And let me know what you think. See if you think it's sound or unsound, or whether you agree or disagree. To this point in time, looking at the Vikings man for man against what the Patriots offer, I just think it's a matchup mismatch. When you have the Vikings, let's take even Favre out of the equation. Adrian Peterson, perhaps the best running back in the NFL. Percy Harvin, who may be one of the, if not the fastest player in the NFL, and he's a born receiver, great kick returner, and we've seen him come on strong over the last couple of weeks. Randy Moss, I think enough said there, although I will say that you know that if there was ever a problem with Randy getting motivated for a game or for playing for 60 minutes in a game, whatever you want to say about his past, that will not be the case this Sunday because of the perceived slight of him going off from New England back to Minnesota. All right, so that's just on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, Jared Allen, I think, has largely been a guy that let's just say he hasn't been the Jared Allen we've seen over the last couple of years. I think he's itching to get going. I think this Minnesota defense, while they've had some trouble as well with some youth and situations in the secondary, I think they're going to put on a full-court press because I think they've seen that there actually is a weakness to the Patriots' offense. It showed itself last week. They had a very poor game on the offensive line against San Diego, and I think this is not a matchup at this time for the Patriots. They may need another week or two to try to work out of these potential glitches. Now, a matchup that I think actually favors the Patriots, as I mentioned earlier here, that if Favre does start and gets any appreciable playing time, the Patriots might actually have an opportunity to put pressure on the quarterback due to his inability. It would benefit the Vikings, I think, if Tavares Jackson actually played the majority of this game. But when you take all these factors into consideration, and plus the fact that the Vikings are 2-4, they haven't won an away game yet as well, they have been thought of as a contender, and they haven't shown anybody yet they can be a contender. I'm going to take the Vikings in a semi-upset, sneaking one out at the end, 28-27.
Well, you know, I thought I was going to come on here and get a big argument from you, so on, but other than a few sprinklings of little details I'm going to throw in, I'm right on board with you.
Really?
Yeah, I think Brett Favre starts the game. I don't think he's in there for long. I think Tavares Jackson being in there helps them even if he was not a mobile quarterback, he's going to be more mobile than Brett Favre is. And Randy Moss catches the game-winning touchdown pass, and I think Minnesota wins this game as well. And then we can spend a week talking about, are the Vikings better off without Brett Favre?
Yeah, you know, let me ask you one other thing before we jump into that for a minute, because quite frankly...
Oh, by the way, not to interrupt you for a second.
No.
I think you really touched on a great point about Jared Allen.
Yeah.
He has been non-existent this year. That team has 6 sacks in 6 games.
Right.
Okay.
And he has only one of them, doesn't he?
I mean, I believe you're right. 6 sacks in 6 games. I mean, they had games last year. They had 2 games against the Packers where they had a 6-sack game and an 8-sack game.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So they have not been, I think the matchup with Jared Allen, is crucial here. And, my shortcomings with the Patriots all year have been their offensive and defensive lines.
Yep.
And so on. And I think this is a game of matchups. And this is the one area where Minnesota is superior to most teams in this league. So I'm on board with you. I think the Vikings do win this game and so on. But I think what the interesting part will be is how they wind up winning the game, and that Tavares Jackson does indeed come in, and it is Randy Moss who catches the game-winning touchdown pass. Boy, will we have something to talk about for a week.
We'll definitely have something to talk about. I think it could be a rather remarkable aftermath, but there's so many great subplots. I mean, this will be one of the games that, you know, Fox will look back on this year, and it wouldn't shock me to see it be one of their highest numbers.
Just because I don't think there's any question about it.
There's a lot of interest, not just from the Patriots, but certainly from the Favre perspective as well.
Well, listen, there is a rubbernecking quality when it comes to Brett Favre.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. Okay. Now you combine the fact that you have him, will he or won't he? Okay? The Randy Moss subplot. It is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and it is the Patriots. Okay? And you've got a Minnesota team absolutely on the ropes. Okay? So, there you have it. I mean, it's tailor-made for... Boy, let me tell you something. You know, depending on what you're watching at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon,
yeah,
you kick in the gear and you get to see Minnesota-New England with those subplots, and then Sunday night, the defending Super Bowl champion against the former Super Bowl champion.
Right, right.
Doesn't get any better than that.
That's
as far
pretty
as
good
subplots.
Day. Pretty good day of football.
Yeah.
I would have.
Yeah,
to
I think.
Agree with
I, you know what? I think I'll probably watch this week.
Yeah, why not? I think we'll probably do that, and we'll have a good one on Monday night, watching on ESPN 2 to see if the Texans can put away the Colts.
Yes, we'll see.
Thank you, Russell, as always, my friend.
All right, John. Take care of yourself.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, you bet. Russell Baxter, ESPN's NFL Research Coordinator. I hate to admit it. Honestly, I really do. The way that I've been talking about and thinking about this game all week long has led me to this conclusion that I see the Vikings edging them out. Now, you know me, those that have listened to this program for any extent of time, I hope I'm wrong. But I'm trying to put my football knowledge of these two teams together. This is what I come up with. I'm trying to stay away from the bandwagon as much as I like, hanging on for a ride every now and then. I would like nothing better than for all the emails to come in next week and say, oh, Rook, you blew that one. Believe me, I will concur. I'll be happy, to do that. I just don't see this. I think the matchups are just all wrong for the Patriots here. I still think the Vikings, even though they're 2-4, are eminently capable of beating anybody in the league. I think they've done a lot to beat themselves in their first 6 weeks. And if they can find a way to keep from shooting themselves in the foot, the Vikings have enough in this game to beat New England. If the Patriots come out with any kind of a similar offensive performance like they did this last week at San Diego, and San Diego, I think we all realize, had a pretty good team. Shorthanded, still had a pretty good team. Defensively, pretty good team. We saw it last week. If the Patriots play that way, the Vikings could bury them. Even here. I don't think anybody's going to bury anybody else here. I think this game will go right down literally to the last possession. I'll agree with Eric on that one. I just think that, I don't see us getting over the hump. I'd be stunned if Moss didn't have a significant factor. I'd be stunned if Adrian Peterson doesn't have, 100-plus and a score or two. I'll be stunned if Favre doesn't start the game, but I also think Russell's right. He may start. He may be relatively ineffective. Patriots might get out to an early lead, and then the Vikings decide to pull the plug on Brett Favre's experiment for Sunday, realizing that his streak technically is, quote-unquote, still intact. And then they bring in Tavares Jackson for a little mobility and roll that pocket out, and they look upfield and find a guy like Moss, and bingo, bango, bongo, all of a sudden they're back into the game, and then they steal it in the end. And if the Patriots have any kind of mistakes at all, pick, fumble recovery, mistake in the kicking game, crucial penalty, any kind of mistake like that at all, it'll haunt them. They have to play this game almost as if they were on the road. They have to almost have that kind of mentality. No mistakes, clean game, everybody's against us. They have to have that mentality. If they can do that and come through with a relatively clean effort against Minnesota, the Patriots can win, and they probably will win. I just don't know that they can come through that quote-unquote clean game that they're going to need to have to still beat a still quality opponent in the Vikings. And again, yes, there is that back against the wall factor. It didn't help really San Diego a lot last week, but for whatever reason, Minnesota's got that factor going on their side for them as well on Sunday. Webradio at Patriots.com. Haven't gotten any emails. I promise you I'm going to get to them. 508-543-7482. That is our ace ticket hotline. Still want you to basically come up with your score predictions as you possibly can. I am thinking offhand here that this team... Wow, we're gonna have a festive atmosphere. We're gonna have a festive atmosphere on Sunday. It's Halloween. We'll have the cheerleaders in their uniforms. People will be wearing the Moss masks in the stands. It'll be like a holiday in effect. It will be an interesting atmosphere. We're gonna have plots and subplots and stories and different things, all different things going on. It's an atmosphere I think that's going to be conducive for distractions. Now, I'm not going to speak for the team, not on the team, but I would tell you that when you're at home for a situation like this, you don't really have the opportunity to focus and channel your energies where it needs to go because you've got all this stuff going on around you. Whereas if you're on the road, you really don't have anything else to think of but just, you know, the football aspect of it. So what we need to, you know, what you have to consider here is, you know, the Patriots' ability to focus, which has never really been in question much in the previous 8 to 10 seasons. Never really been in question. But because, you've got so much turnover here, you've got, you know, fewer veterans, you've got more younger players, you got guys that haven't been through the grinder of an entire season as much as, you know, a few of the remaining veterans have been. They just, you know, the culture hasn't quite been created as it has been in the past. That I think you're kind of leaving yourself open for opportunity for the opposition. So in that regard, I think the distractions could also play a factor. Just call it a gut instinct more than anything else, to be honest with you. That part's pretty tough. You know, there's not a tremendous amount of history between these two teams. Some of the history, though, I mean, they've only played 10 previous times, as you might expect a team from the AFC East against the NFC North. Minnesota, last game was in Minnesota. It was the 2006 game that Brad Childress referred to earlier this week during one of his press conferences. And the Patriots, you know, won that one going away on a 31-7 decision on a Monday night. That was actually the day before Halloween. The Patriots, last time that they played Minnesota here was at Gillette in 2002, a 24-17 win for the Patriots. Patriots have won 6. The Vikings have won 4 all-time in the 10-game series. Vikings have only been at Gillette once, and that was in 2002. Previous to that, in the 2000 season, here at Foxborough, which was an 8-point Minnesota win that night. Or that day, rather. However, even though, you know, the Patriots have only a slight advantage over the Vikings, they have been pretty successful, I think, as we all know, against NFC teams in recent years. The Pats are 31-5 in the regular season against the NFC since 2001. That's extraordinary. 31-5. Including the postseason, they're 34-6 against the NFC. 3-1, of course, in the Super Bowl, we add to that. So 7-1 all-time as well against the NFC North since the divisions realigned in 2002. The only loss was a loss to Green Bay in October of 2002. That's the only loss they've had against a team from the NFC North. Perhaps until this Sunday. All right, can we squeeze a break in here? All right, got to reset some of the emails here as well, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show right here inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day. whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back inside the playbook as we get ready to wrap it up here on Patriots.com radio for Thursday. Pats and the Vikings coming up at 4:15 Eastern time. The matchup in particular, as we talked about, doesn't have a whole lot of series history to it between the Patriots and the Vikes. But it does present a sort of an interesting little sideline. I mean, first of all, the individual matchups we've talked about, the intrigue, the stories – with Favre coming back, with Moss coming back, with one of the best running backs in the NFL, who I think we'd probably all be interested in hearing more about if, of course, he wasn't basically, you know, page three news. Brad Childress, the head coach, taking a couple of pot shots at the Patriots this week. Which is all fine. I think, you know, and Coach Belichick sort of brushed it off for the most part. But he did take a couple of shots at the team for what he thought they were doing back in 2006, stealing signals or what have you. And, of course, I think as most everybody realizes, in this sport, everybody does it. It just depends on how well you do it. Anyway, great little subplots to it. Matthew sends his email from earlier. We were talking about the movie Number One and Charlton Heston flicks and everything. Planet of the Apes, he says, was in 68. The Heston football flick was in 69. So 69 comes after 68, not like you claim. Five-film Planet of the Apes series, Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, made between 68 and 73. Thank you, Brooklyn Matt. Okay. The majority of those movies that were made after. And I think that was the whole point. You were being pretty nitpicky there, but I'll give you credit for coming up with a very good nitpick. Should have saved it for next Tuesday. This one comes from Dave, who says, yeah, Number One came after The Planet of the Apes. That came out in 1968. Thank you, Dave. We just figured that part out. But the majority of those movies came out after Number One. The first movie, 68, that's good, because I had IMDb up on my webpage, too. But, you know, that wasn't the point, I think, of the argument or whatever it was we were talking about at the time. It's good to know that somebody's paying attention. Believe me, that's always good. Andrew sends this from Utah. My prediction for this week's game is Patriots win 24-20. I've been scared as I've listened to everyone talk about the matchup problems that the Vikings pose. However, I think the Vikings pose matchup problems for most teams that they play against, or at least they should, yet they've only won two games this year. While the Patriots haven't supposed to have matched up well defensively against most opponents, they have found a way to win all but one game. So I have to choose the Patriots to win, and again, I think it'll be close. Just as a side note, I think the Vikings' pass rush will do well, and if so, then Woodhead should have a pretty good day out of the backfield. So here's what I think will happen. Moss will score one, Favre will throw a pick, be sacked three times, AD will rush for 100-plus with a touchdown, while the other touchdown will go to either Harvin or Shanko on play action near the end zone. Brady will go for 250-plus, two touchdowns, one to Woodhead, one to Branch. The third will be a close run by Green Ellis. Welker will have 10-plus receptions. Brady really seemed bothered that he hasn't gotten him the ball enough lately. And obviously Gronkowski will have, or he says Gronkowski. no, it's not Gronkowski, but that's okay. That's okay. Guskowski will have a field goal, as will the Vikings. And if Chung plays, I could see them using him a couple of times to blitz the edge and put more pressure on Favre. Well thought out, though, Andrew. Very, very good. There's a reason, though, I think that Brady hasn't gone to Welker as much as he'd like to. I just don't think Welker's is open. I think teams now with the inability to really stretch a defense now without Favre, without Moss, one of those Vikings players, I think teams are beginning to pack it in a little bit on the Patriots receivers. They know what Welker likes to do. They're defending it better. It's going to be up to the Patriots to create more opportunities elsewhere for Wes Welker to get the football. Not like he normally does, going over the middle for 6 or 7 yards and turning a 6 or 7 yard pass into a, you know, 18 yard gain like he's done so many times in the past, because Randy Moss has stretched the defense down the field. We're not going to get that anymore. It's going to have to be a different way about it. Peter. Okay, I just simulated a game in Madden 11. Oh, here we go. Pats versus Vikings to see what could possibly go down this weekend. Beginning of the fourth, the Pats are down 10, 23-13 Vikings. They score a touchdown to make it 23-20 Vikings. And with 1:58 to go, the Vikings have the ball. Vikings fumble. Pats go down the field and score. 26-23. They go up. 55 seconds to go. What happens to the extra point? What happens to the extra point? Do they botch the extra point in your simulation? Some simulation. Anyway, he says, very next play, Brett Favre hits Randy Moss for 73 yards, 30-26 Vikings. Pats are trying to get something going. They fail with 5 seconds left, down three. Okay. Well, I guess they did get the point then, but you have the wrong score then. Come on, Peter! Play with me here! 5 seconds left, down three. Pats have the ball at the 50. Last play of the game, Brady sits very well protected in the pocket, just throws it up to the end zone. Somehow Brandon Tate catches it, and the Pats win? Wouldn't be 30-27. It would be 34-30 or 33-30. Wow. Okay. He says Brady was 23-34 in his sim for 209 and three touchdowns, three picks. Favre was 13 of 16, 206, three touchdowns, one pick. No, I don't buy that sim at all. Peterson, 11 carries for 41. I'm not buying that sim either. Okay. But good, though. Nice try. I just don't happen to believe it. Tell Madden to go back to what he does best. It's not video games. You know, funny, though, we were talking about how, what guys are known for. There's a whole generation of fans that knows John Madden as the guy who's, you know, got his name on the video game series. People forget that he was a longtime great coach and a Super Bowl winning coach of the Oakland Raiders. And then there's another generation of fans that knows him at nothing but Pat Summerall's partner, you know, on television broadcasts of football games. And now he's the video game guy. Christopher in Seattle. Patriots 31, Vikings 24. Favre picks 0. DeForest Jackson picks 2. Favre leaves the game in the first half if he plays at all. Chili gets ejected. Really? I like that one. Moss, 2 touchdowns, including a one-handed reception for over 50 yards. There's a fight in the crowd between 2 fans, one wearing a Moss mask, the other in a pair of Groucho Marx glasses with a penis nose. Happy Halloween, he says. Ah, oh, I like it, Chris. Thank you very much. That's awesome. Peter, I know. I read your sim. That's okay. It's all good, though. Bad Kevin sends this one. Hey, guys, I think the result of this game hinges on the play of the offensive line. If they do not do their jobs again this week, we are in for a long day. I don't think it really matters who starts for them. Anyone can move the ball on us. It's up to our offense to put more points on the board, and I'm afraid that our line will not protect Brady, and we will lose if that happens. Games are won and lost on the offensive line. I'm betting on the line to do their jobs. Vikings 24, Patriots 27, according to Bad Kevin. Can't say that I disagree with you, and Russell Baxter agrees with you as well, Bad Kevin. Thinks that the difference in the game is going to be hinging on line play. Play in the trenches coming up on Sunday. Right now, I'd have to say that perhaps the Vikings hold a slight advantage, but we'll see based on, you know, what last week's, you know, play, you know, brings into, you know, brings onto the field. Both of these teams have done similarly on offense. Vikings are averaging about 319 yards a game per on offense per game. Patriots at 325, so they're right back-to-back, I think 19th and 20th respectively in the NFL. So that's, you know, actually a little bit on the lower side of midway in the middle. Defensively, the Patriots are 29th in the league. They give up almost 380 yards a game. Well, the Vikings are 7th. They give up 308 yards per game of offense. Patriots actually have a better rush defense statistically than the Vikings, but the Vikings' pass defense is over 70 yards per game better than the Patriots' pass defense statistically. Vikes give up 209. That's 13th. Patriots give up 282. That's third to last in the league, 30th. That one made Brian Lowe cringe.
The numbers aren't always pretty for this 5-1 team, are they? 5-1, you'll take it.
You look at this and you say, how is this team 5-1?
They're last in the league in third down defense.
Yeah.
And, hey, it's a credit to the ability to, I guess, win games in different ways in one phase of the game, sort of pick up the other. That's the only way you do it in this league. I mean, if you're, you know, the numbers across the board, I mean, what area of this team do you say, oh, they're golden there? There aren't many. But they're putting it together a different way each week and coming away with one of the best records in the league.
By the way, in case anybody was wondering, Brett Favre was walking around the Minnesota locker room today.
Let me write that one. Wait, walking?
Walking around. With
boot or no boot?
No boot.
No boot. I heard he had a different type of contraption, right?
This afternoon at practice, he was limping through the locker room with just a wrap, no boot. That's the latest. And I know that you were hanging on every every slight detail, wanting to know.
I mean,
no boots.
It is amazing how all he does during the week is set himself up to be the hero or to have the built-in excuse. That's all this is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's setting himself up for one of two things.
Well, we all
succeeding
know.
In being the hero or failing and having the excuse.
The National Football League is here for Brett Favre. We know that, don't we?
I'm seeing it on the TV screen
yeah,
right
he
now.
Is right
yeah.
there. He's yeah. walking around without a boot on.
And he'd love to play. I mean, he's really willing to give it a try.
Right.
But, you know, he doesn't want to hurt the team. You know what, Brett? You've been hurting the team when healthy. So, you're going to be helping the team when injured? I don't know.
What's coming up in the fantasy lowdown, Kate?
We're going to be talking a lot of Patriots-Vikings because I'll tell you what, as big of a game as it is in reality football, if you will, it's pretty big in fantasy football too. So we'll be talking a lot about that game. And, you know, this is the first of 2 weeks where there are six teams on a bye week. So if you own a fantasy football team, you're probably looking at a lot of in the opponent column, it says bye.
Yeah.
And I'll try to help people out with some of the sleepers that they could maybe pick up on the waiver wire, even at this late juncture,
nice.
To help them out this week.
Fantasy lowdown. It's
there
coming
go.
Up. All right. Very good. A quick final thought here. Mary Beth sends this on Facebook. She says turnovers are going to be the key. And she says Pat's in a close one on Sunday. And Randy Moss has finally spoken, imposed his, or, you know, his, or he's actually gone past now his imposed media blackout this week. He was asked about, you know, his feeling to coming back to New England. His quote is, "I don't really have a feeling. I'm just excited to be able to play football every week. Everything's fine, man. I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm okay. Ain't no problems." That's it. That's what he says. Wasn't going to talk about Brett Favre, wasn't really going to talk about coming back to New England. He just like, you know, everything's fine, man. Going to play football. And like I said, to open up the show, leave no doubt about it. If there was ever a question about Randy Moss being able to play 60 minutes, there won't be this Sunday. He will play a full, hard 60 against the Patriots secondary on Sunday. Expect it. Going to be some fun. It won't be boring. It'll be fun. Be a nice Halloween. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel next week, kids. And Fantasy Lowdown's coming up.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.